Well, how about this? Let's pray. God, we are here, and for the next, what looks like 35 minutes, this is the only place we have to be. And so I want to invite everybody to take a deep breath and just let it out and be a little centered and a little present to just right now. Let go of whatever you got to do this afternoon, whatever anxiety you carried in here that you're worried about, the things that are causing you stress, that are keeping you up. And we ask that you would teach us the path of wisdom through this course, the next 6 weeks, that we could be a people who live by her statutes and know peace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. There's some seats up front here and scattered around, and like Malcolm Brown, you can kick him out. I mean, you can just get rid of him if you need his chair. I'm kidding. That was supposed to also be funny. All right, tough crowd. All right, so here's the question. This is a class. I want to welcome you, week one, on the kind of ancient wisdom tradition that is found in the Holy Scriptures. There are lots of types of literature that are called, or lots of books in the Bible that are called wisdom literature. Okay, it's like a genre. And we're going to tackle one of them because there are different sort of streams in this tradition. Proverbs is one type of wisdom literature. You also find wisdom literature, a different kind of wisdom, in Ecclesiastes, which is like the wisdom that comes after wisdom. And then you also have Jesus kind of subverting like conventional and post-conventional wisdom. Jesus has some interesting stuff with his work. You also would find wisdom in the book of Daniel. Interestingly enough, I know, right? Yeah, so there's all kinds of stuff, but we're going to be looking just at Proverbs. And I was learning about some of this earlier, maybe last year, and I all fired up about it because it just sort of had so much to say and so much to, I think, to give us for our current day and age. Really, really does. Now, when I say the word Proverbs, and you think of Proverbs, just what are some first things that come to your mind? Things you remember from it, or just impressions. It follows the Psalms in the Bible. Hey, you get credit for that. As an Episcopalian, you get like double credit. You knew where it was in the Bible. What else? Like, short sayings like "spare the rod, spoil the child." Yes, maybe you had that proverb wielded against you at some point in your life. Yeah, that's in there. No, it's in there. Yeah, that's right. What else? Just kind of first impressions. Proverbs. Guidelines for life. I throw you the mic. Yeah, guidelines for life. Does anybody? We heard one about spare the rod, spoil the child. Anybody remember any others? You got to say that whole thing. That was awesome. And it was King James too.
Pride goeth before destruction, and a hearty countenance before a fall.
There you go. Come on. So Proverbs, like, it's saying stuff. It's got things to say. And I kind of believe in so many ways, what's been helpful to me in exploring this tradition and kind of thinking about it and resonating with it, is there really is a sense that we kind of need this in a different kind of way. I talk to people a lot who they're stressed about our world, they're stressed about their life, their kids, and honestly, a lot of it kind of comes back to, like, have we lost the plot, Dixon? Are we going off the rails as a planet? You know, like, there's hurricane, after earthquake, after fire, after political skirmish, after, you know, and there's this kind of overwhelming sense of things. There's a way that we are berated and bombarded by advertising all the time, that like kind of distracts us. And then there's stuff like this. So this was, this is what we're going to do in class. We're going to do 6 classes. This is what they're called. But I'm going to move on through this because of our time. So this was my news screen. If you like swipe left on your iPhone, it pulls up your news thing. And these were the top 4 stories that came up, okay? Power out, this is Tuesday when the hurricane went through Puerto Rico. 100% in Puerto Rico. Curfew set, island destroyed by Maria. Then a story about Paul Manafort offering private briefings on election to a Putin ally. So a little White House scandal gossip. On podcast, Preet Bharara gives new details on why Donald Trump fired him, even gossipier gossip, right, about White House stuff. I don't know what that's, I don't know that story. And then finally, Lara Trump debuts little black dress and heels 1 week after son's birth. Now, here's the thing. This is the deal. Look at this screen. Each one of these has the exact same headline and size. They're given the same amount of attention. Every single one of them are given the same. They've got the logo. It's like we're in this culture right now where a woman's black dress is given the exact same volume and attention as the entire island of Puerto Rico losing its power for a hurricane, right? Do you wonder if maybe our culture has lost the ability to discern what's important and what's not? Right? Do you wonder if sometimes you've lost the ability to discern what's important and what's not? Because there's so much coming at us all the time. So many push notifications, so many Facebook feeds, so many things that are just looking for our attention. Hey, pay attention to me, pay attention to me, pay attention to me. I'm the most important thing, I'm the most important thing. Wisdom helps you understand what is the most important thing and what's not. Wisdom helps you know what to be worried about and what not to be worried about. Wisdom helps you know how to be grounded and rooted in something that is deeper than a peaceful news cycle, right? Wisdom helps you know that there may be a truth that is deeper than just what's coming through on your news feed on your iPhone. Okay, are you with me on that? Would anybody like to know that kind of path and be able to discern that sort of way of life? Then you are ready for wisdom. You are ready to go. That is what it takes. That is all it takes. And the thing about this that I found so fascinating is that the questions that we're having about this stuff, like, have our leaders lost their minds? Are people even paying attention to stuff that matters? Why don't we care about things that we should care about? We care about things that we don't. Like, these are questions that human beings have been asking for thousands of years. We are not the first people to go through this. We will not be the last people to go through this, right? There is a newness to us going through it because we've never done it before, like today, whatever we're doing in 2017. But what you find in the wisdom tradition is this wealth of information, this wealth of resource about how you make your way in a world that feels like it's just going faster and faster and getting crazier and crazier, and you don't know what to do with it. So would there be anybody that, again, would find that good news? That you'd be like, oh, that's a great resource? I think you're in the right place. All right. So let me talk a little bit about some of what this is and what it isn't. So this is Proverbs 3, which I gave you on your sheet right there, okay? What I want to invite you to do is either on the screen or on your sheet to read it, and I would be interested in, after you read it, one or two reflections on what truths do you find, what is this proverb particularly saying about wisdom and what it is. So if you have a pen, you can underline it. Just take a second and read it. All right. You can kind of continue as you want. What are just some things that strike you about this proverb? What is it saying about the character and quality of what wisdom is? Wisdom, anybody else notice this, is feminine. Yes, Dick, right. Wisdom is personified as a woman. And all the ladies were like, right. Was that ever a question? The word for, this is the word for wisdom in Hebrew. You pronounce it chachma. And it is a feminine word, and you find in the wisdom literature, wisdom is personified as a woman. Okay, it's true in the Greek tradition as well, like Sophia is wisdom, right? So wisdom is a woman. And so absolutely. She is saying stuff to you. She is calling out. What else did you notice in this proverb? That was a perfect first one, Dick, because that was right. My slide was right there. Better than treasure. So there's something really valuable about this. There may be something about wisdom that is worth more than dollars in your bank account. There may be a way that you could have high dollars in your bank account and low wisdom, and low dollars in your bank account and high wisdom, right? And there may be something about the quality and kind of life that you can have, clear eyes, full heart. It doesn't matter what you got in your pocket, right? What else? Wisdom is peace and life. There's all this stuff in there, and I might get to it later, and I think it's in Proverbs 3, about sleeping well. Like, you find wisdom connected to your body a lot and how your body relates to your stress. Like, what are the things that keep you up at night, right? Wisdom starts to help you know, this is something I should worry about, this is something I shouldn't. Wisdom, the path of wisdom leads to, I can sleep, I can rest. I'm actually going to talk about more about this next week. What else? This is really good. Mm-hmm. Darby's sermon. What about it? About wisdom. Yeah. In any particular capacity? Yeah. You're like, and what are you going to say? I'm Hal Brown? I'm just going to say this to you. All right. I don't disagree at all. But you found some overlay and some connection. But, well, of course, because Jesus, you know, is embodying the way of wisdom in his life. I mean, what he's teaching about how God's kingdom works, especially in that weird, the parable is the parable of the workers of the vineyard that Darby preaches on, where they, you know, get hired at five different times of the day and everybody gets paid the same. And the folks at the beginning of the day are hacked off about it. And Jesus is like, or the vineyard owner says, are you envious because I'm jealous or generous? Are you jealous of that? You know, I paid you what I promised you, right? And there's this kind of inherent kind of unfairness in the kingdom of God. Grace is not fair. Nobody gets what they deserve, right? But wisdom will also tell you, as Dudley pointed out, there's a path you can take that will wreck you, right? There'll be consequences, you know? For sure. What else? Anything else? Just a couple other things. Yeah.
Wisdom seems to be synonymous with judgment and discretion and the discernment that you mentioned that we need.
Okay. So wisdom is synonymous with judgment and discretion and discernment. Yes. My son, this is verse 21. Do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you. We're going to come back to that in a second. Discernment. Discretion, right? Yeah, Mary, I can't deny you.
When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet.
When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Does anybody need some sleep, some sweet sleep? Oh my gosh, right? There's more to sleeping well than just not drinking coffee after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Or 12 o'clock or whatever. Like, I drink it all day, and it's terrible. But yes, so there is a sense where, like, the path of wisdom, like, understand, in the Hebrew consciousness, you are a whole person, right? There's no word for spiritual in Hebrew. So the path that God lays out is not a path that's like, hey, look, this is for your spiritual life, right? You got your regular life, your physical life over there. You can do that, but this is for your spirit. You're one person when it comes to the Hebrew consciousness. And so in that sense, remember, your sleep is totally tied to your prayer life, is totally tied to how you're connected with your community, to how you're serving, all because you are a whole person. Now, a couple other things. We talked about how she's a woman, how wisdom is linked with knowledge and grace. There is a flow, and the more that you're in this flow of wisdom, the more grace you find in your life, which actually does go back to Hal's thing, the grace, that generosity of the owner of the vineyard, that sense of like, oh, I'm not going to like punish you for this thing. Like, there's a grace that you find for yourself and for others that comes from a life that is connected to wisdom. This is really neat. This is a different proverb, Proverbs 8. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. So this is wisdom speaking. I was formed long ages ago at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. And when there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep. Wisdom, okay, is something that is old, okay? As opposed to us who live in a world where it's all like, what's the new thing? What's the flashy thing? What's the thing that you need to know now? We got to leave behind these old, outdated modes of life. We got to get back to the new stuff, state of the art. Wisdom is about tapping into something that has always been true the whole time. When you're asking questions about wisdom, you're not asking questions about, how do I do this right now? What's the thing that I should, what's the fastest, smartest, most efficient way all the time? Wisdom is about something else. Wisdom is about, what is the truth that has been in the midst of this thing the entire time? We talked about this, Proverbs 1. Wisdom cries out in the street, in the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. So, what does this have to say about wisdom? Wisdom is available to everybody, right? And this is important. Wisdom is not for the elites. Wisdom is not for the people that got the best SAT scores. Wisdom is not for the people that went to the best schools. Wisdom is not for people that have the most money or the most accomplished. Wisdom is for everybody. And it's this vision of her crying out is really important because she's always crying out. Do you know what that means? That means there's always something for you to hear. There's always wisdom to be learned, to be heard. It's always crying out to you in every circumstance, right? So I get in a fight with Murray Greeson. I don't know why, because he's walking in front of my house and made fun of my grass or something. And I totally lose my temper and I blow it and I'm a wreck. And what I need to do is not just beat myself up. Wisdom is calling out to me to say, Dixon, what are you going to learn from that? What's the thing that you could learn from that moment? How can you not repeat this mistake? And what will it take for you to forgive Murray? Maybe a bundt cake, you know, or for Murray to forgive you, or whatever it is. You know, so there's this way that wisdom is always calling out. Always, there is not. It's not available to some people and not to others. It's available to everybody, all the time. She is available to everybody, all the time. I was constantly at his side. I was filled with joy day after day, rejoicing always in his presence. I rejoice in God's whole world and delighting in mankind. Wisdom is for human beings. All right, she is full of joy, and she is for you. So in a world that it feels like, oh my gosh, like, is everything out to get us? Is everybody out to get me? Are we just kind of holding on just to, you know, Every day is like, you know, Indiana Jones running under the stone door just before it closes on the hat. Like, is that, you know, the kind of existential place that we all live in? Wisdom's like, no. There's a force out there. There's a truth. There's a path that is for you. What I'm calling you to is good for you. It's going to bring you life and health and peace. I want this for you. God is for you. Wisdom is for you. She is your friend. She's actually more than that, which we'll conclude with, all right? But if you refuse to listen when she calls, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I will in turn laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. She's a little sassy. Wisdom's a little sassy. Wisdom's a little bit like, if you're not paying attention, it's kind of on you, okay? So don't complain like it's not. She's kind of sassy. Now, this is the last piece of this, is that this is important to understand. There is no ceiling on wisdom, okay? It is unlimited. There is no end to what can be gained in wisdom, okay? So, like, for example, when you're doing what I do, right? So I am this preacher and I run a church, right? There are skills that I can gain and there are like things that I can learn, but there are limits to how far it can go, right? There's only so much I can hold in my head. There's only so much, you know, my voice only lasts so long, you know. You all know this in your own professions, the things you do, like there's, you know, expertise and stuff you can gain, but there's like a top end to that. There is no top end to wisdom. There is no threshold where you're like, yeah, that's full enough. There's no ceiling on this thing, remember? And that's why it's different than your SAT scores. It's different than what kind of grades you made. It's different than charisma. It's different than being talented. Wisdom is different than all that, and there's no ceiling on it, okay? Are you with me on that? Right? There's a story that I want to tell you, but I might have to, we grew up in a world where we learned that our intelligence was measured by how we performed in school, right? And the way we, and teachers are nodding because you know. So the way, and that performance is measured by usually your ability to succeed on some sort of standardized test that can be measured with a Scantron machine, right? I was really bad at school. No, not really bad. I was just not, I don't know, it didn't click. I wasn't great at it. I could have been better. I didn't apply myself. And so one of the things that happened to me is my senior year of college, I was rejected from every single college I applied to, right? And so I went, yeah, I know, right? Right. You're shocked. Now you're like, we should have never hired that guy. And it's true. And what it taught me was, first off, that I needed to figure some stuff out. But second off, that I had sort of just been kind of cruising. And I don't know, just kind of doing what I do and not great at this, not great at that. But I also, it started to internalize because of the narrative of my particular high school and then going into college, that I just wasn't very smart. But they were really smart people that are like super smart. And like they're like A students and they're awesome. And they like, you know, make the good grades and get the good scholarship. They went to like the Ivy League schools and stuff. I had to go to the University of South Carolina, right? In the 90s when nobody wanted to go there, right? And what I internalized was that I wasn't smart. And Kristen will tell you, I mean, she's had to watch me kind of work through this as I've like engaged this doctoral program, which in some ways is me probably trying to compensate for that a little bit, but then being in the middle of this thing going, oh, am I good enough? Am I not? I don't know. And what's brilliant about, actually, if I can just praise Kristen for a second, Kristen was one of the people that like is totally smart in school stuff and like Pi Beta Kappa, made all the good grades. But what always matters about Kristen, what I learned from her, is that she is centered. Her sense of self doesn't come from that. Like, that never mattered to her. She's like, yeah, I did all this stuff. And I was like, oh, that's the thing you're shooting for. Because you know what she has? She has wisdom. Like, she actually has wisdom. So there's no ceiling on this thing. Don't mistake this for your capacity to get good grades in school. Okay? Don't mistake this for your ability to go to some sort of reputable college. Wisdom is not the least bit intimidated by the people in the room that have the biggest degrees and went to the best schools. Wisdom doesn't care. Wisdom's like, great, let's talk about what matters. You good? Everybody done putting their CV out there? Because we got work to do, right? So, there's no ceiling on this. And I want to use myself as that example, truly. Which is why, you know who this is? Can tell by your reaction that you do. So he just was sentenced to some jail time because he was sending inappropriate tweets of himself to lots of different people and got caught and then did it again to someone who was underage. And so they're like, this guy's got a problem. He's a really accomplished politician. He ran for mayor of New York, right? He made good grades in school, you know? You know what he's an example of? He's an example of intelligence without wisdom. Okay? And there's lots of them out there. All right? This is why really smart people like this tweet really dumb and destructive things. Right? Because there can be intelligence, but it's not the same thing as wisdom. Now, what you're going to find in the wisdom tradition is we're going to run into all of these kind of stock characters. All right? So you'll find over and over again, they sort of pair them off each other. They're the wise versus the foolish. The simple versus the prudent, and the righteous versus the wicked. I want to talk particularly today, we're going to talk about simple and prudent in a whole session because it's an amazing distinction. And righteous and wicked, of course, you're probably familiar with, and we can come back to that too. But I want to talk a little bit about the wise and foolish because that's kind of where this whole thing starts. And first off, does this work in the room? Do you guys know who this is? Do you guys know who Mr. T is? Hal Brown, do you know who Mr. T is? Do you know who Mr. T is? He doesn't. No, okay, well, it doesn't matter. At any rate, so the thing that I put this out there, there are, in the wisdom tradition, you'll find an invitation to the way of the wise, right? Or you'll find a path that leads to foolishness. The fool is not just someone who's sort of like dumb or whatever. The fool is the person that doesn't learn from their mistakes. The fool is the person that thinks they already know everything and have nothing to learn. The fool is somebody who gets offended easily. The fool is somebody who bristles at the thought that they don't have it all together and they wouldn't have, that you could ever correct them. The fool is the person that sees a path that is destructive and says, that won't happen to me, right? This is the fool. The fool is not hungry or thirsty for wisdom. The fool thinks they have everything they need. The fool isn't looking for any wisdom because the fool is their own sense of authority, right? Now, what I hope is when you hear that, you're like, I don't want to be the fool, right? And here's the thing. If you're thinking that, then you're not. If you're thinking, I don't want to be the fool, I want wisdom, I want to go down this road, I want to learn this stuff, then you will. That means you are hungry. That means you are thirsty. That means you're actually already on this path. You're trying to listen when she's calling out to you to tell you there's a way to live, to be free, to sleep well, to have grace and joy that abounds. If you want that, you will find it because she's always calling out. She's always there to be heard. You don't have to worry that you won't hear it unless you choose not to, right? And that's the path of the fool. The fool's like, I don't need anything. I know everything. I'm the smartest guy in the room every time, all the time, right? That, what happens to you then, Dudley? Pride goeth before the fall. Yeah, and destruction. Yeah, and you watch it happen over and over again, right? It's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. Okay, so a couple of things. I'm going to skip. Yeah, I'm going to get to the end because I want to just kind of move through this thing. But I'll come back to the stuff about fear of the Lord. I talked about it in a sermon a couple of weeks ago. I might come back to this and kind of what that means about how this whole thing starts. Because that's a very famous proverb about the fear of the Lord. What I want to do instead is kind of move through the end, which is to say, so in the wisdom tradition, as we pointed out earlier, there are words that you're going to encounter, okay, that are not words that we use a lot in the English language, at least in ways that are exciting. You're going to find discipline, restraint, insight, prudence, which again we'll come back to, instruction, correcting, knowledge, discretion. These are not sexy words, right? Like, these are not things, like, you don't find anybody that's like, oh my gosh, we went out last night and we were like discreet. Oh my gosh. You would not believe how discerning we were. What? Like, these are not things that we value or talk about all the time. They're not things we celebrate, right? Except in the tradition of wisdom. They are countercultural values. So part of what you're learning in the wisdom path is a way that kind of moves against the grain of society. Society's pushing us one way. There's a stream, there's a flow. And wisdom's like, the life might be going this way and not that way. You know, prudence, discretion, discernment. Because everything's moving so fast. Everything is all about, what can I get right now? How can I make the most out of this moment right here? How do I capitalize on this moment to get to the next thing? But here's the thing. Everything that matters in life is about playing the long game, isn't it? Everything that really matters is about taking your time. It's about discipline, a long obedience in the same direction, right? That's the kind of way, like, and when we talk about these words like discipline, discretion, like they feel like they're this kind of buzzkill, right? You know, like it's, these are the things that like drag life out of you. These are the things that kill the joy. But actually, those values are the kind of values that give you the life that everybody is trying to get. They're the values that give you the kind of life that our culture tells you will come from having more money, having more status, having more power. But it's not. It's these things are the path that get you there. So we're not, when we're talking about discipline and restraint and discernment, we're not talking about killing the joy. We're going after the joy. That's what you do to go after the kind of life you've always wanted, the kind of life that matters. Wisdom is calling out every day, showing you where it is, telling you you can find it. Here's where it is. All you have to do is be hungry and thirsty and listen, and don't play the fool. So, a couple of thoughts to close out. When you're on this path, right, well, then wisdom starts to show you about how to get angry, but about the stuff that matters. How many people this week got mad about something that didn't matter? Come on. How many people just got burned up about something one of your friends posted on Facebook? And you were like, rah! And like, I don't know, you know? Wisdom starts to show us there are things that are worth getting mad about, and then there's things that aren't. You know, Forsyth County is one of the largest gaps of hungry kids versus kids that are fed in the United States. That's something worth getting mad about. What your brother-in-law said about the president on Facebook, maybe not. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like, that energy that you're expending, like, you could be using it towards something that mattered, right? So there's this invitation in the way of wisdom to get angry about the stuff that matters, all right? There's also, as we said, this beautiful picture of learning how to sleep well. And I think it's also interesting because the wisdom, there's Proverbs about how when you lie down to sleep, you won't be afraid. And I do think a lot about we live in a system where fear is used a lot to try to motivate people to do things that benefit the fear monger and not the people that are being motivated. And so this is a time that we need people that have wisdom to go, Kathy, don't be afraid of that. You're good. Like, that's not something worth being afraid about. This over here, we could worry about this, but not that. And that starts to help you be able to sleep, be able to have peace, less gray hairs, maybe, I don't know. maybe that's not even fair. No, because there's wisdom in being old. Yeah, okay, gray hair actually works in your favor. Okay, in the wisdom tradition. Oh, my goodness. How are you, my last slide? You can't be my last one. So the invitation of Proverbs is that is so gratifying to me, I want you to know, because I spent way too long finding that meme and putting it on here just to basically entertain myself. Thank you. I don't know if you've encouraged me on a path of wisdom or not, but Proverbs 7 says, "Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend." This path of wisdom that we're going on is about aligning yourself with what is the most true and has always been true, the deepest truths of the universe. It's about connecting yourself to the path of life and peace that God has put out there. It is a call that is always, she's always calling out to you. There's never a time that wisdom isn't calling you. Everybody can hear her. She's yelling it on the street. Don't ignore her or she might mock you. She's got a little sass in her. But you don't have to be afraid. If you're hungry, you're going to find what you're looking for. If you're thirsty, if you want this path, you will have it. It's out there for you. And the invitation is to make wisdom part of your family. To be, hey, you're my sister. Say to wisdom, you're my sister. We're in this together. Blood never is thicker than anything. We're in this together, especially in this the tradition that this comes out of. So the invitation of wisdom is to say that you are my sister. And that way, when you're with your family, like, you don't have to worry about being tossed around with whatever's being said on the news. You don't have to worry about having something at work absolutely undo you and wreck you. You don't have to worry about high school nonsense. Dude, high school nonsense, right? Like, we are all like, oh, dear God, we are praying for you. Because there's so much drama, right? Like, wouldn't it be cool to know that there was, like, a centeredness and a groundedness, so whatever someone's, like, texting or tweeting or the drama gossip, you could be like, I don't have to enter that. That's nonsense. That's the path of wisdom. And other people are like, what if that's my workplace? Same for you. That's the invitation of wisdom. So here's your homework for next week, okay? Your homework for next week is twofold. The first thing is, I want you to dig up the book of Proverbs. It is after Psalms. Hal's right, or Malcolm's right about that. Find the book of Proverbs. Find one of them to read. Just pick one of them at random, okay? They don't really flow sequentially. So you can sort of, you really can kind of pull them out random. Pick one, read it, and do like we did this morning, where you just jot down in a notebook some of the stuff that sticks out to you about it. Oh, that's interesting. That's what it's saying about wisdom. That's kind of cool. Okay, neat. So I want you to jot that down in a notebook. I want you to bring it next week with you, because you're going to share it with some people that are with you. I may even encourage you to bring your Bibles. We might kind of get in, might be, do some flipping. If you found this was helpful and we were going through all the scriptures, bring a Bible so you can underline stuff that sticks out to you that we point out. But then lastly, here's the thing. If wisdom is always calling out to you, like you can hear the bells right now, I want you to listen for what she's saying to you this week. So the question is, what, when we come back next week, what did you learn about yourself over the last 7 days? What was a piece of wisdom that you gained? What was an insight that you found? Where, what was a learning you found through a path of discretion and restraint and discernment? So I want you to be reflecting this week. What is something that's happening in you? Start listening for her voice. She's always calling out to you. You can't miss it if you're looking for it. Sound good? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, go with God. Amen.